Welcome to the Truman Charities Podcast, a community of caring. I am Jamie Truman, your host. I'm one of the co-founders of Truman Charities. Our organization has raised over $1 million for several different charities as we share our message of helping others and paying it forward. We plan to continue to educate our audience on the culture of giving. On this podcast, I will interview fellow charity founders, volunteers, sponsors, and other people in the community who will share their stories. You will hear and be inspired by their selflessness and passion for helping others. Welcome to another episode of A Community of Caring. My guest today is Corinne Cannon. She is the founder of the Greater DC Diaper Bank. Corinne, how are you doing?
I am great. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, it's so great to see you. You know, it's been years since I've seen you. I think the last time I saw you was years ago when the Metro Bethesda Rotary, because my husband's in that rotary, you guys were doing a diaper drive and Fox 5 DC was doing a segment on you.
I remember that. That was great. Yeah. And it was an early morning coffee and tea. Yes. Yeah. That was fantastic. That was pre-COVID. I mean, that was the before times.
That was literally, I think, right before it.
Yeah, it was. I think it was December of 2019. Yeah. So it has been a minute and some things have changed.
And that is why we're here today to talk about what you guys are up to now. So for anybody that doesn't know anything about DC Diaper Bank and about you, can you just tell us, like, can I tell you your story?
For sure. Yeah. So we had our first child in 2009 and we were overjoyed to bring him home and we were woefully unprepared for what being a parent entailed. And we were really struck by how hard it was to care for him. You know, folks say, when did the diaper bank start? And for me, it started in an evening I had with Jack when he was maybe 5 or 6 months old and he had been crying. I mean, he'd been crying forever. He'd been crying for hours and hours and I did not know what to do. And I hit this point where I was so frustrated. I had an overwhelming urge to hurt him. And it was a very terrifying moment for me. I have come to realize that a lot of parents hit that point and that we don't widely talk about it. You know, frustration and exhaustion is kind of what brings people there. But I remember putting him down very gently in his crib and going and waking up my husband and saying, I'm done. I need you to take care of this. And I lay in my bed and I just cried. And I started thinking about other mothers. You know, if we were struggling and we had planned to have this baby and we had the resources and we had so much family support and so much love to do this. And we were still having a really hard time. What was happening to other families and what was happening to other mothers? And it really led me to do a lot of research. I am a liberal arts gal. And so I just started reading up on what it was to parent in poverty and what that looked like. And I started calling a lot of social service agencies and saying, what do you need? How can I help? And I think back on it and Jamie, I must've sounded like a crazy person because I had a crying baby in the background and I'm saying, how can I help other families? And they're probably thinking, just get your baby to stop crying, you know? But it was, the calls were eye-opening. I mean, the calls were really fascinating. And when I said, what do you need? And I heard diapers and formula, I mean, I was so sad, but I was also so angry. You know, when folks say, how did this start? It started, I think, from a place of just pure rage that we were not providing for the infants in our community. We were not providing for the women in our community. And from those phone calls, I really started thinking, oh, somebody has to do something about this. Like we have to solve this. And I spent a lot of time talking to nonprofits and saying, could you be a diaper bank, right? Or could you be a formula bank? And what I learned was that a lot of those organizations would be able to do it for their own clients, but they did not have the capacity to be a larger diaper bank. And what we really needed at that time was a regional response to this issue. So the same way that you've got large food banks like Capillary Food Bank, we needed a diaper bank and a formula bank that would address this issue kind of in DC, Maryland, and Virginia. And that's, you know, that's kind of how we got started. We incorporated on my son's first birthday. He ran around DCRA with me as we filled out all the paperwork and charmed the folks down there. And it's been growing and expanding in kind of impressive ways since then. We began in my basement. We are now in a 10,000 square foot warehouse in Silver Spring. And I always have my eyes open for more space. So that's how we got started.
That is impressive. You know, when you're telling me that story, I can't help kind of think I have a 5-year-old and then I have a 1.5-year-old now. But there have been, you know, in those first 6 months when you just have not slept and you can't think straight. There are several times where I put my child down and walked in and got my husband and was like, I can't, you have to tag in. Like, I can't do this anymore. And I have thought the same thing that you've thought too. What do people do with that frustration and, you know, anxiety and all of this that they have when you're a new parent, when you don't have that support system, and how hard that must be when you have all of these other factors of costs and all of this, it's overwhelming to these women. And so it's incredible what you guys have been able to do. What was it like in those early days when you started?
I don't even know. I mean, it's a blur. When we started, I had a one-year-old and I was working full-time. And so I called the diaper make my 8 p.m. to midnight job. And I worked full-time during the day. And then I did this at night and on the weekends. And after about, I think, 2.5 years of this, of doing that, I was done, right? I couldn't do it anymore. And so I call it our monetary come to Jesus talk. My husband and I had, and we made some decisions about what values we wanted for our family and what was important to us. And so I quit paid work and I started doing this pro bono full time. Did that for just over 5 years before I started taking a salary. And then the beginning of this was scrappy. People say, how did you start? I hustled. You know, I would talk to anybody who would talk to me. I was willing to drive anywhere. I was willing to have tea with somebody. I was willing to talk to a group. I think what struck me, particularly in the beginning, was that people simply did not know what diaper need was. They did not know that this was an issue. And if you didn't ever think about purchasing diapers, or you didn't have little people in your life, you wouldn't have thought about it, you know? And so when I would say we're doing a diaper drive, people said, what is that? They just didn't have a concept of what it is. And I was struck by how as soon as people learned this was an issue, they wanted to get involved in some way. They were appalled and they were confused and they wanted to get involved in some way. So in the beginning, a lot of what we were trying to do was just simply spread the word. I think one of the things that I am most proud of is that diaper drives are normal now. And I can't take all credit for that, right? I cannot. But in this region, if you say diaper drive, people instantly think of us. And we've started doing that with other products as well, right? So we're doing period product drives now. We're doing incontinence supplies drives, right? I really want these to be issues that we are comfortable talking about, and that it is normal. The same way that a family needs food, a family would also need toilet paper and cleaning supplies and diapers.
Mm-hmm. A few years ago, before I had kids, and I was training still in the fitness business, and I went over to a client's house, and I never heard of you guys before. And I went into her basement to train her, and I saw a huge stack of diapers.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her and I'm like, you know, your kids are older. Why do you have an insane amount of diapers?
Yeah.
And she was explaining to me about your organization, and it was mind opening for like me, because I didn't have kids. You just don't think about this need. You just don't. And from there, I ended up, and a couple of my friends, instead of when we had birthday parties, instead of receiving gifts, bring diapers. So there's all these great ways that you guys do drives and collect diapers. And I want to kind of get into that The woman that was my client, and we're still really great friends, what she called herself was a diaper ambassador.
Yes.
So what, can you tell me a little bit about how people are helping? What can they do?
Certainly. So when we began, one of the things that I was very aware of was that I was a staff of one, and we were trying to address this regionally. So we had to find ways to make ourselves larger than we were. And we had to find ways to spread the word in all the ways it could be spread. And as a relatively new mom, one of the things that was a lifeline for me was our neighborhood listserv. And it was a lot of moms and dads, and they were talking to each other about what their kids needed, or where you could go for this, or where you could go for that. And I thought, this is an untapped resource. So we actually started the ambassador program. It was a dinner party that I had. I just had my second child. And so she was 2 months old, and it was a dinner party with 8 friends. And I said, how can we do this? And we just brainstormed. And when we came up with this idea was, you don't have to give all of your time or all of your money or all of your voice to this issue. But if everybody just gives a little bit of those things, we're going to be able to address this. And so the idea was a little bit of space in your garage, your basement, a little bit of your time, a little bit of sharing our work on your school newsletter or your listserv at work or your listserv in your neighborhood, right? Simple ways to spread the word about what we're doing. That dinner party was 8 people. We now have about 200 ambassadors across the region, which is incredible, you know, it really means that if there is, if you want to donate anywhere in this region, you can do it. And that's the big thing. If someone's got an extra pack of diapers, or they throw a box of tampons in their shopping cart and they want to donate it. If they live in Gaithersburg, they're not driving to Silver Spring. They live in Arlington, they're not driving to Silver Spring to our warehouse and dropping them off. But they will go down the street to a coffee shop who's an ambassador location, or they will go across to their neighbor who's an ambassador location. You know, one of the ambassadors, we were just doing a training a couple of weeks ago, and they said it really beautifully, is that the ambassador program makes this region small. Right? The diaper bank makes this big DMV feel like a small town. And that it really warmed my heart, because I think that's a lot of what we are trying to do, is that it's a lot of people coming together and giving a little bit of themselves to make this better for all families.
Even though I am in the process of still buying diapers, and I haven't thought about it, but you probably know this answer, is how much, so people have an understanding, a typical year of diapers, how much does that cost?
So diapers and diapering products. So diapers, diapers cream, diapers wipe, diaper
everything
wipe
together.
Everything together. You're talking about $100 a month for the families that we serve. I think it's really important to know that a lot of the families that we serve are not going through big box stores. They're not going through home delivery services. So they're often paying more. $100 is about the average. But our families, instead of paying 20 cents a diaper or 25 cents a diaper, which is what you're going to pay for buying them in the giant box in bulk, are oftentimes going to the corner store or the drugstore, and they are paying up to 2 or 3 times that cost per diaper. So there is the average cost of what it costs, and then there's what our families are paying.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Can you go through a little bit about your diaper distribution network?
I'd be happy to. Yeah, I could talk diapers all day, Jamie. So, you know, one of the things we realized when we got started was that if a family needed diapers or formula, they likely needed other services. And we did not want a mom, and it's mostly moms that we work with, we didn't want a mom who needed diapers to come to us and just get diapers. We wanted them to go to a social service agency and be able to get a range of services in one location. So that we're talking about case management, housing support, food, medical, all of those things in one place, with diapers as an added incentive to engage with that organization. So that is our base model. We work with over 100 social service agencies and government agencies around this region. And we provide diapers and formula and period products and baby food, all of these different things. Essentially, if you could find it in a grocery store, in the baby aisle of a grocery store or a drugstore, we want to be able to offer it to our families. So those organizations, what they do is they place an order with us for what their families need, and then they come to our warehouse and they pick it up, and then they distribute it to families when they are doing home visits, when they have early head start sessions, medical appointments, all of those different ways families are getting product. Now, during COVID, one of the things that happened was overnight, we saw just a skyrocketing need. And we thought we have to have a different system for addressing this need. It's going to overwhelm our networks pretty quickly. So we started something called the Emergency Diaper Hubs. There are 25 of them. They are all around the region. And what they are is partnerships with food banks to provide food and diapers at the same time. We've added incontinence supplies, we've added period products and formula when we have that inventory, but that's allowed us to increase the diapers that we've been able to get out into the community. In 2019, before the pandemic hit, we distributed about 2 million diapers. In 2020, we distributed 6.2 million. And in 2021, we distributed 9.5 million. So the needs are continuing to increase.
Wow. That is a huge increase. And in your opinion, why do you think that is?
I think we're seeing a couple of different things. I think that the primary driver of this was when folks became unemployed due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we saw just an incredible uptick in need. As people have gone back to work, what we have found is that those who were receiving it before, who received at the beginning of the pandemic, still had an ongoing need, right? They may not have known about the services prior to the pandemic. One of the, I think, and I am not a glasses half full person on the pandemic at all, but I think one of the things that has come out of it is that services have become more widely known in vulnerable communities. And there's been a real outpouring and there's been a real outreach effort to vulnerable communities to let them know these services are available. Here's how you access them, and they are safe. So a number of the families that we serve are undocumented, and there is a lot of fear about reaching out and asking for support, even when you're hungry, right? So some of that went away when the pandemic hit. So I think that is part of it. I mean, one of the things that keeps me up at night is really trying to figure out what is the actual need here. We have very good metrics for what hunger need is. And there's been an incredible amount of data collection and time and dollars and thought put into that. We've not had that same history of thinking about what material goods needs are, right? So period product need, diaper need, toilet paper is another very, very big one. We haven't had people study this or think about this. One of the things that we recently did, and what we're kind of starting to see the results of it, is we worked on a pro bono basis with IBM using AI to try and figure out what diaper need was in this region. So we took all these data sets that we know are important data sets, but that we couldn't keep completely in our brain. We need something larger than us of what is what's the transportation score for these neighborhoods, unemployment, WIC, SNAP, TANF. What do all of those things look like and what is the actual need? So when I say that we've distributed 9.5 million diapers last year, did we distribute 9.5 million diapers on a 25 million diaper issue? Did we distribute it on an 11 million diaper issue? One of the things that we want to do is get that data and really be able to put some benchmarks around what the needs are and then attack it, right? So we know that needs vary by jurisdiction. And so we need to be going out and doing more outreach and creating more partners in jurisdictions where that need is greater. And we're really using data to guide those decisions.
And I know you have some great things going on. Mother's Day, Father's Day, you have a Wipeout Summer event. And since everybody's listening, I'm listening to you and I'm getting more, you know, invested in wanting to help and what can we do?
Yeah.
And I'm sure people that are listening are thinking the same. So I would love to hear about some of the events and ways people can help out.
So the first thing I will say is the very best thing you can do for us is talk about diaper need. I think a lot of nonprofits say the best thing you can do is give us X number of dollars, right? The best thing you can do for our work is talk about this issue and ask questions about this issue and kind of think about it. If you want to become an ambassador, we love, love, love ambassadors, and we would love to do that. Around Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're going to have some events and some ways to get involved in our work. Always, always, always diaper drives are incredible ways to get families involved, kids, schools. Kids get diapers in a way they get very little else. So I think that's a wonderful way to engage kids. And then this summer, like every summer, we do a big campaign called Wipeout Summer, where we are trying to raise all of the wipes we will need for the entire year. Baby wipes are a product that we always need. And they are often not something that we are able to purchase. So we are trying to do a campaign usually in July. So look for that. We'll be wiping out summer 2022.
Now, is all of this going to be on your website?
Of course, greaterdcdiaperbank.org. And then also Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram. You can find us all there. Handle is DC Diaper Bank.
That makes it so easy. Mm-hmm. Bryn, it has been amazing and incredible talking to you. It's been too long. Never again do I want to go this many years without talking to you. So is there anything that we haven't covered that you would want listeners to know?
No, I think the thing that I would ask anyone who's interested in this topic is this issue to really kind of think about not the logistics of it, but the feeling of it. So we've got really great systems for getting products to family and we can help you do that. But what I really want folks to do is think about if you had that baby at home and you knew you were putting that baby down and that child was hungry, or you were putting that baby down with diaper rash, how would that feel? And what would you be willing to do for your child to make that not their reality? And if that strikes you, and if that's something that you care about, come help us make sure that's no one's reality.
I love that. And I do want to mention, if you go on YouTube and you plug in DC Diaper Bank, you have some really great segments where they show your warehouse and all of the products and exactly how you can become an ambassador or get involved in some sort of way. So definitely look on your website too. It's so easy to navigate and you get to learn exactly about all of these different amazing programs that you have. So Corinne, thank you again so much. Thank you.
This was wonderful.
It was so wonderful. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in to another episode of A Community of Caring. Until next time, everybody. If you would like to learn more about our organization, please follow us on Facebook at Truman Charities or Instagram at Jamie_Truman Charities or check out our website, trumancharities.com. I hope you enjoyed listening and hearing stories of selflessness and caring. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time.